just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This is Pastor Bilo, conducting our worship service online from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, Green Bay, Wisconsin, on August the 29th, 2021. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great goodness and mercy revealed in your only begotten Son, Jesus, who also became true man to fulfill the law in our place and to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We pray, enlighten us by your Holy Spirit so that we will thank you for your grace and mercy and be comforted in the time of trouble and temptation. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us publicly confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We direct our attention to the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson for this Sunday, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, which is recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." Here ends the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson. The epistle lesson to which we direct our attention is written in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Here ends the reading of the epistle. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 23 through 37. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And behold, a certain liar stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Here ends the reading of the Gospel. We continue with the sermon for this Sunday, the 13th Sunday after Trinity. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God and the only Savior for sinners, dear fellow redeemed, we are living in rapidly growing communities. A growing community requires a lot of planning for government, for business, and industry. It also has a special significance for the church. new residents as well as the old, need to be told who we are and what we as the Christian Church believe, teach, and confess. As members of the Christian Church, we are witnesses for our Lord and Savior Jesus. That is exactly what Jesus told his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The disciples carried on the work of witnessing and have died. You and I must carry on the work today. Spiritually, we invite others to believe in Jesus as the Son of God and the only Savior for sinners. As we invite others, we remember that there is only one foundation on which the Christian Church is built. This morning, we turn our attention to that foundation. It is Christ, the Church's cornerstone. Our text is taken from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In the text before us, and elsewhere in Holy Scripture, Christ is referred to as being chief cornerstone, or the head of the corner for the church. Naturally, we are not talking about a physical building. We are talking about the one Holy Christian Church, to which all and only believers in Christ belong. During the public ministry of Jesus, most of the Jews rejected Jesus as being the Son of God and the promised Messiah and the only Savior for sinners. Jesus confronted people who rejected him with the soul-searching question, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone?" When the apostles Peter and John were put into prison in Jerusalem, they were asked who gave them the authority to teach and preach as they did, and from whom did they get the power to do what they did. At that time, they had just healed a man who could not walk and who had been sitting at the gate of the temple and begging people for a handout. Peter told his friends, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you all. This is the stone which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In the epistle to the Ephesian Christians, the Apostle Paul witnessed the same words when he wrote, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." What Jesus said about himself and what the apostles taught about him as being the chief cornerstone was nothing new. Their hearers should have known that what Jesus and the apostles were proclaiming had been foretold centuries earlier by the prophets. For example, about 725 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." About 300 years before the time of Isaiah the prophet, the psalmist wrote the words quoted in our text, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." In our text, we also have another expression added. Christ is called a living stone. He is also called precious. He is someone special. Peter writes that he is chosen by God and precious. Jesus Christ is indeed someone special. In fact, there is no one else like him. He is God and man in one person. He is the chosen one of God, the one whom the Heavenly Father selected to be the only Savior for all sinners. The Heavenly Father was not disappointed in what his Son said and did. At the transfiguration of Jesus, the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." That was not the first time that the Heavenly Father gave such testimony of his Son. At the Savior's baptism years earlier, the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, what people might think or say about Jesus has absolutely no bearing on who he is or what he did and does. Christ is indeed the Son of God and the only Savior of the world. That fact is not altered by anyone's denial or rejection of him. What people think and say of Christ does not change who Christ is and what he has done to save us from sin, death, and hell. People's denial of Jesus only shows their ignorance and unbelief. Now, Jesus Christ, who is called the cornerstone, is the one on whom the Christian church is built. Take Christ out of Christianity, and you have nothing left. Our relationship to Jesus is described by the Apostle Peter with the words, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Christ is the living stone. The Christ who was crucified is alive. He rose from the dead on Easter morning. We who believe in him are called living stones. Christ is the source of our spiritual life. He gained life for us by his suffering, death, and resurrection. He assures us, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Christ gave his life for us, that we might live eternally. Because Jesus has done all this for us, he is so precious to us. He is so dear to us. Now, we who love him, because he first loved us. Oh, yes, this precious stone is rejected by many people. It was that way from the beginning. In our text, we are told that he was rejected indeed by men. In the beginning of John's Gospel, we are told he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Among his own people, there were those who looked upon Jesus as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. There were those in the Savior's day, and there are those today, who stumble spiritually when they come face to face with the truth about themselves as sinners, and they also stumble at the truth of the gospel. Namely, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When the Lord Jesus appeared over 2,000 years ago, he was rejected not only by the Jewish people in general, but especially by the builders, that is, by the religious people who should have known better. He was treated like a useless stone, which the builder discards as being unfit for his building. He takes that stone and throws it aside and casts it upon a pile. He gets the stone out of his way. When Christ came, that's how he was treated by the builders, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and others. They were determined to get Jesus out of their way. It is no different today. There are many builders, religious leaders, who reject Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior of all people. However, what does God's Word say? Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In contrast to those who reject Jesus, there are those who believe in him. And in our text we are told, he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Of this we can be sure. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and if our faith and hope rest on him alone, we will never regret it. Some people might ask, how can you be so sure? We can be sure because we are building and banking upon the promises of God. And as Scripture says, God is not a man that you should lie. People lie to cover up their ungodly deeds, but God is God, and he cannot lie, and his word is eternally true. I don't believe everything that people say. Wisdom and common sense ought to tell us not to swallow everything, hook, line, and sinker, that comes from the mouths of people, no matter what they are or who they think they are. However, in our text, we are told that we are dealing with something else. We are dealing with God's word, and God's word is as sure as God himself is sure. God wants us to grow in knowledge of him and his word, and in our faith and in our Christian living. The matter of spiritual growth was also a concern for the Apostle Peter in this epistle. He said in words that are familiar to most of you, and which many of you once committed to memory, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The apostle was not insulting anyone by calling them babies. He is saying that just as a newborn baby desires milk, so we who have been born again should desire the milk of the word of God, that we may grow. Having tasted how precious the milk of God's word is, we want to grow in learning about God's grace. True, some people don't get all that excited about the Word of God, about worship, and about Bible study. That's to be understood. They have not tasted how precious the milk of God's Word is. So it is not surprising that they have a sour taste in their mouth when we talk about the Word of God. Once we have tasted the grace of God in Christ, then we begin to realize how special a people we really are by the grace of God. We cannot overemphasize the grace of God. Without the grace of God, we really do not have anything much to talk about. Without the grace of God, we are hopeless. But now, by the grace of God, we are the children of the Heavenly Father. Once we did not know his mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Pick up any newspaper or watch any TV news program or listen to any conversation, and soon you read or hear about the many problems people are having today. Many people have emotional problems because they wonder whether anybody really cares. They wonder whether anyone really loves them. They wonder whether they really will ever amount to anything. They wonder what life really is all about. Many even wonder whether life is worth living. And some of them despair. Now, for anyone who wonders that way, is it not wonderful to know that there is somebody who cares? There is someone who gives rhyme and reason to living. There is someone who gives purpose to living and who makes it possible that you need not fear even dying. That is the one Peter is talking about in our text. It is Christ, our cornerstone. Christ is our firm foundation, to whom we belong and whom we serve. How blessed it is to know that we really are special. We are special people, made special by God, who called us out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous, glorious light of the gospel. Yes, if you believe in the one true God and believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and your only Savior from sin, death, and hell, then you really are something special by the grace of God. The Spirit of God, through the Apostles' words, seeks to strengthen us, to lift us up, to enlighten us, to put a song into our heart and a spring in our step. He tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, the light of the gospel. Let's treat one another as God's special people, and then together we will grow. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, we bow before you, the only true God. You are our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. You are the Almighty and the All-Knowing God. Day by day, we pray that you would supply us with all that we need to support this body and life. Guard and protect us continually from the many things that could hurt and harm us. Be our refuge in the numerous times of trouble, and protect us from all of the sicknesses that surround us. During the present difficult days, according to your good and gracious will, guard and protect us from the sufferings of the coronavirus pandemic. Bless the work of all of the doctors and nurses and the multitude of caregivers for the sick and the suffering, both young and old. Touch our hearts and consciences with your love and mercy, and keep us in the saving faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Help us to remember and to be thankful for the many blessings for both body and soul that are showered upon us by your gracious and loving hands. Give us patience and strength to bear whatever you place upon us. Give us a stronger faith that will move us to endure and to deal with the many difficulties that come our way every day. And bless us as only you, the one true God, can do. Make us faithful witnesses for the one true God and for the only Savior for sinners to all the people with whom we come into contact. Constantly bless us with the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, which was gained for all people through the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we put our faith and trust for time and eternity. Increase our faith in your promises for this life and the next. Frustrate and bring to naught all of the evil plotting and planning throughout the world, which is being done by many arrogant and ungodly evil people, including a multitude of many evil politicians and people in positions of power, and the evil people who are working dishonestly through the various agencies of the news media, all of whom are attempting to destroy our Christian faith and hope. If it is your good and gracious will, remove from office those who willfully, persistently, and stubbornly fail to fulfill their responsibilities. Strengthen our saving faith in Jesus, the only Savior for all sinners. Send us on our way rejoicing as your witnesses, who rejoice to tell others about the one true God and about Jesus Christ, whom our Heavenly Father sent as the only Savior for all people. Move us to search and study your holy word diligently and prayerfully, as it is recorded in the Bible, the only source for what is taught in the Christian church. Bless all faithful pastors and teachers of your holy word. Keep them faithful to the teaching of the truths of both the law and the gospel. Moved by love for you and for the souls you have placed in their care, bring people to repentance and faith. Hear and answer our prayers according to your good and gracious will. We pray in our Savior's gracious name, who also taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please join us each week online for a Christ-exalting worship service with scripture readings, prayers, a sermon, and the benediction. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.